Jeremy Bradley here, back at the control, celebrating 12 years on the air. Thanks to everybody who is sending in your well wishes. It's always great hearing from you. I do appreciate that. And celebrity phone lighting up again. Wow, you guys timed that perfectly. Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the air.
Well, hello, and it's Nancy Grace calling. Happy 40th!
Oh,
how's it feel, senior citizen, AARP?
Why is everyone... Nancy, really, come on. You know, we're both in our early 30s. How can you do this to me? Really?
Well, wait. I actually thought before today that you were in your 50s. Are you telling me you're just
40? Oh, you know what?
Why do you keep saying you're in your 30s? Okay, you know what? I'll go along with it. You're in your 30s, but happy birthday anyway.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Now, again, everybody, we're celebrating our 12th, and this has always been my fear, that Nancy Grace is going to call in and yell at me on the air. This, I swear.
Oh, okay, I can do that.
All right. You know what? Thanks for calling in, well, at least to razz me, and I love that you kind of do that to your co-star now. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Poor Dan Abrams. Wink.
I was talking about the new show, Grace versus Abrams, and let's rewind, because the two of you started your battles on Good Morning America, wasn't it?
Okay, I guess the senility is setting in.
Oh no.
Poor guy, and he's only 40. Listen, we started arguing a long time ago. This is what happened. As you know, I was a crime victim to start with.
Yeah.
I was in school studying Shakespearean literature when my fiancé, Keith, was murdered. I dropped out of school and really, really was in a bad place. And I ultimately went back to school, not to study Shakespeare, but to go to law school to become a felony prosecutor to hopefully help other crime victims. Well, I prosecuted felonies for 10 years in inner city Atlanta. And I was invited to sit on a panel of so-called experts in New York. Well, catch this. I almost didn't go because I was in the middle of trial prep on a serial rape case, and I didn't want to screw that up. But I figured, you know what? I've got enough time to be on one night. So I fly to New York. I sit on the panel between Johnny Cochran and Roy Black. Cochran off the O.J. Simpson case and Black off the William Kennedy Smith debacle. We got a big fight. Who was in attendance that night in the audience but Dan Abrams? Of course, he sided with Johnny Cochran. Surprise, surprise. And I had him in my crosshairs ever since. He was at Court TV as an anchor when I joined in 97. So we knew each other all the way back then, and then resumed our battles on Good Morning America.
Okay, all right. And let's be honest, he's afraid of you, isn't he?
Well, I don't know. He would never admit to that, but he does have sometimes a deer in the headlights look when I come at him. But, you know, he's a pretty smart guy. He can fight back.
I know that look. I just had it. You can't see it, though. Oh, just having a laugh with our friend Nancy Grace. Jeremy Bradley here once again celebrating 12 years on the air. Not my 40th birthday, despite what you hear Nancy Grace say. We're talking about the new show, Grace versus Abrams. What's cool, though, on this show, like, you guys are digging deeper and showing us, you know, new evidence and sometimes showing a case from an entirely new angle, right?
What I really like about it is that not do Dan and I just get to argue, which is always fun in itself, but we bring forward witnesses and evidence that was not heard at trial or has not been heard in these, which are the most notorious cases and investigations, some ongoing right now, that have ever been in our U.S. legal history. So it means a lot to me that somehow we can make a difference. For instance, in Top Mom Casey Anthony, we brought on a woman that did time behind bars with Casey Anthony while she was waiting for trial. They got to be besties. We had about 100 letters we dug up between them. What she said about what Top Mom said and did behind bars, if a jury had heard that, they would have convicted her.
But let's talk about, so something like Top Mom, as you say, like, I sense your frustration when you know that there's other facts out there or that something happened and the legal case, you know, isn't playing out the way it should. So if you could jump in, though, and take on at least, let's say, Anthony's case here, like, what would you do? I always feel like you have the solution.
Well, I think that there was so much evidence. I feel that it got away from the state, the evidence itself, and it became a very complicated case. bogged down in science and autopsy and medical reports. I remember when I would have a homicide case, I would go, and I'm sure we'd drive me crazy, and drive my beat-up Honda to the inmate's office, the morgue, and sit down with the doctor, which I'm sure they thought they didn't have time for me, and go through every single line of the autopsy report and say, what's a hematoma? And they'd say, it's a bruise. And I would say, well, could we then say bruise, please?
Right.
We're not doctors. You're the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And not just in that simple example, but when you're talking about how you know that there has been chloroform in Top Mom's trunk because you took an air sample, what? What does that mean? You know, this is how to boil that down. When you go to the gas station and you smell gasoline, that means there's gasoline in the air.
Right.
Means. Okay?
Yeah.
That's how they knew chloroform was in the air, because they took a sample and they analyzed it and they found chloroform. You have to explain things to non-scientists and lawyers. Lawyers are just JDs. They don't understand all that. The case got away. It was no more about a little girl that was murdered with duct tape across her nose and mouth and double bagged in trash bags and thrown into the woods to rot and be torn apart by animals. Her body was torn apart by animals.
Mm-hmm.
It suddenly turned into something about a duel of the experts. That's not what the case was about.
And you know what? I've been on the radio for 12 years. Even I can't segue out of that one. This is probably the most gruesome end to a segment, but we're going to talk more with Nancy Grace when we come back. Jeremy Bradley here again, celebrating 12 years on the radio. Nancy Grace joining us on the line. Why are there so many high-profile cases that just seem to go sideways? So, is it like you say that there's, you know, complicated lingo, or there's just, you know, too much involved? Is it lawyers, juries?
Well,
like,
you know,
what?
That's a good question, because my dad, who I miss horribly, his birthday was yesterday. He went to heaven. He didn't have a college degree. He turned down a college scholarship to go fight in the World War. He understood it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm saying is, you don't have to have a college degree to understand it. It needs to be put in terms that anybody can understand. Why do cases go sideways? Look, the prosecution tried so hard in that case. I also think it depends on the jury. I always say, and I said it at the time I was striking juries, when you put number 12 in the box, your case is done. It depends on who is on the jury. And you can't always wave a magic wand and pick the right 12. I remember one time, my first bank robbery trial. Normally the feds do bank robberies because of FDIC protection, you know, that your bank has.
Yeah.
Well, I was too naive to understand. I had it because it was a stinker. It was halfway through the trial, my investigator ran in and went, tried to start talking to me. I'm like, Ernest, be quiet. I'm trying the case. I can't talk to you. He wrote me a note. Juror number, let's just say 7, is a convicted bank robber. I went, oh. See, I was so naive. I wouldn't ask the jurors, have any of you ever been convicted of anything? Because that means you probably got an axe to grind, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I had a convicted bank robber on my bank robbery jury. Okay, so it's a miracle I got a conviction in that case. It depends on who you put in the box, okay? The 12 that are in the jury box. And I think that has a great deal to do with your verdict.
Some of these things just seem so simple, right? Like that the average person, it's just common sense.
Yeah, people get all hung up in trial consultants and behaviorists to figure out what the jury is thinking by the way they're sitting. Now, I got to tell you something. There's a lot to be said for that. Every day when the jury would go home, it'd usually be at nighttime, my investigator, Ernest, and I would stand in front of the jury rail. Nobody would be in there but us. And we'd go, okay, this juror in this chair, like juror number 1, she's on our side. Okay, we don't have to worry about her. How would we know that? Because she'd be nodding. When I would argue or say something, she'd say, nodding yes. Or she'd be looking at the defendant real mean. You know, you can tell, right? Mm-hmm. But it's hard to strike a jury by committee, let me tell you that.
Hmm. Okay. Well, so about the new show, you said that it's on Thursdays on A&E, right?
Yeah, a new show premieres on every Thursday night, 11 o'clock Eastern on A&E. So listen, if you can't stay up that late, at least DVR it and watch it within 7 days so we get credit, please.
Well, you know, us people who are in our 40s now, Nancy, thank you very much. We might have to do that.
Sorry about that, buddy. Sorry about that. I'll send you the form for the AARP. It's coming. Get ready.
Oh, you know what? I'm glad. I'm glad.
There's a silver lining.
I'm glad Dan gets to handle you. I appreciate you calling in, though, Nancy Grace. Well, we're going to be watching, or at least recording and watching within 7 days, right?
And happy birthday.
Yes, Nancy Grace, I appreciate you calling in. Thanks so much.
Bye, buddy.